Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, it is now time for The Watchlist, our discerning look at the latest film and TV releases for the week ahead. And I'm joined in studio by radio producer and broadcaster Owen Sweeney and arts journalist for the Irish Times, Nadine O'Regan. You're both very, very welcome.
Thanks, Derval.
Nadine, let us start with Cinema and Materialist, which has been sold as a rom-com. Would it be the perfect date night movie?
No.
Why?
Do not do it. Do not do it. Do not bring a date to this movie. I really, really enjoyed this film. Don't bring your date, because this movie is all about coldly reeling off stats. So it's the story of a matchmaker in New York. She works for the Adore agency. Lucy, played by Dakota Johnson. And she's...
Who I think is really good.
She's fantastic in this. And she endlessly meets people who tell her things they wouldn't tell their own therapist. You know, things that they want in a man or a woman. And they are real nitty-gritty statistics. Very cold, you know. So we're talking about things like...
That
would
be a great way, though, to kind of flesh things out on the first date, you know. You'll know where you stand by the end of it.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because in the opening sort of sequences of the movie, Lucy meets a man called Harry, played by Pedro Pascal, who is very attracted to her. But Lucy immediately tells him, no, you know, we cannot date. You are a unicorn. You know, you have height, hair, you make an awful lot of money. You are, you know, you've got a lot of property in New York. And she tells him that she's from a working class background. She earns 80 grand a year before tax. And, you know, on the stats front, they simply would not be a good match. And he's like, but I love you for your intangible assets. And...
Okay, so maybe not the best first date, maybe, but is it worth seeing?
And there's a love triangle in as well, because Chris Evans enters as her ex-boyfriend. And yes, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I would go to it, but go with
people
you're comfortable with. Go with people you don't have something to prove. You know, like, do not take your date to this, particularly if you were at all concerned about any aspect of the relationship.
Well, that line is fantastic, but it's your intangible assets. Oh, and it's your intangible assets that we get you on this programme for. From dating horrors to actual horror, The Weapons.
Yes, this is, there's something unsettling, Derval, about going and watching a horror movie at 10:30 in the morning on a Tuesday morning, as I did this week. For you, Derval, for
you. So
I could preview this. It's actually out this weekend, but it is the latest film from Zach Cregger, who did the critically acclaimed Barbarian, and this is all the hallmarks of a critical... success, I suppose, and it's coming from someone who's been much lauded. I believe he's auctioned off the screenplay for this for $38 million,
of which he got quite a good bit for
million.
Himself.
$10 million for himself. I think that obviously is pending, you know, kind of meeting certain targets, etc. But he's clearly a canny businessman. He's a good writer. He's a good director. There's a lot of riding on this, but I think this might be a date movie if you want some jump scares. It is a horror mystery, basically. The premise is all but one child disappears from a class in a local elementary or national school at 2:17 a.m. on one otherwise unremarkable morning. All but one child disappears. So that's your mystery. The child who doesn't disappear, we soon find out, lives with, well, we think his parents, but certainly his very odd and, you know, unsettlingly creepy aunt, I think it's fair to say. And so that way the horror lies. So... health warning as well for some people who don't like this particular structure. The same story is told, or at least, you know, we build up the same story from about four or five different points of view,
interlapping, overlapping. That.
I do as well. It actually makes sense. It is over 2 hours long, so it does hang about for a while. It is daft in parts. There are laughs. There's also gore, though. So I did at 10:30 in the morning turn my eyes away from the screen. I will freely admit.
Owen Sweeney thinks gore on a first date is a great way in. So yeah,
there are jump scares, Derval. So
indeed.
You know, if that's your thing,
one of
it
your
won't,
many intangible assets, Nadine. Let's move over to streaming. Alien. Earth, is this series a welcome addition to that big franchise?
Yes, it's a prequel to the 1979 classic movie Alien and part of the franchise, directed and written by Noah Hawley, who people will know from Fargo. And in this world, it's set in 2120, and there are many different types of humans or humanoids. There are synthetics who are humanoid robots fitted with AI. And then in...
So far, so futuristic.
Yeah, and then in a new development in the plot line, humans are starting to transfer their consciousness into the bodies of machines, and particularly those children who you know, may have life-limiting disorders. So in the opening scenes of the movie, we meet Wendy, played by Sydney Chandler, and she's a girl who's about to be transferred, and she's the first one. She's the prototype. And I think actually Noah Hawley does a really good job of sometimes with these kinds of TV series or movies, the action can overwhelm the characterization, but here we get a really strong sense of Wendy.
And what's interesting about it is that Ridley Scott, who was the original Alien director, does he have a role in it?
Yes, he is also involved, but it's he's in the executive producer's chair. But it's
and
very
can you
much
see that influence at all?
Yeah, I think so. But I think there's little, you know, you don't need to know the Alien franchise to enjoy this prequel. You can watch it as a standalone. But if you're a big fan, you'll absolutely see little reference points. And of course, in the case of the aliens themselves, it the action does kick in about midway through when a vessel lands on Earth and all hell breaks loose. But you know what? I'm not one of those people who would, you know, readily go along to those films, and I enjoyed this. So okay. I think it's one of those ones that people will actually start getting into the franchise for. It's coming out on Disney Plus from Wednesday.
Breaking Bad in Wales. Owen, you've been charmed by this documentary and its confessions of a steroid gang.
Yeah, in a week of kind of slim terrestrial pickings, it is August, the BBC are transmitting all three episodes of this Confessions of a Steroid Gang, which is a documentary on a true story, next Tuesday night starting at 11 o'clock. So you might have to stay up late and you might need your own stimulants for that, or
is it worth watching?
It is. Actually, because each episode, look, they are sprightly 40-odd minutes or so. It'll skip merrily along. It is the true story of father and son Andrew Macaulay Dodd, and I'm in no way supporting what they did, by the way. I can imagine the legal department, the BBC, went through numerous cuts of this, and I imagine, if they're getting rid of all three episodes at the same time on the BBC, they may want to avoid Fleet Street pencils. Now, and the opprobrium that will come their way. But basically, Andrew and Macaulay Dodd, Andrew's a divorced dad, Macaulay's a teenager, he's up to no good. Father and son aren't communicating. The son moves out. Dad meets somebody down a pub and decides he's going to go into business with him. The business is, Derval, manufacturing steroids. Now, this is fascinating to me. It's not a community, let's abuse that word. It's not a parallel universe that I would be in. But it does take in bodybuilding. It takes in male social influencers. It takes in body dysmorphia for men who basically become hooked and becoming, to use the parlance, jacked, and thinking they would attract, you know, quote unquote, hotter and hotter women. Actually, one of them does confess it's mainly hotter and hotter men that they're finding are attracted to them. And then they become hooked on them. So there are huge downsides. Yay. Obviously, all that is covered. But what's really interesting is father and son end up bonding over going into business. They get this raw material, very Breaking Bad, from Hong Kong and China. They get it through, you know, parcel post, etc., etc. And it gets bigger and bigger. They rent this farmhouse in what looks like the set of Father Brown, basically, this lovely genteel village. The dad ends up opening a dog grooming parlour and a sweet shop to launder said money, the profits, there are so much of them. But what's really fascinating to me is the high end. And I know just from recent research and reading up on this, there's a company in Silicon Valley or actually Northern California, probably Marin County or somewhere, that there's a consultant there and a whole, Nadine, you'll love this, you may be aware of it. There's a whole office where they try and come up with names for generic drugs. And you know what I mean? And they're consultants and they've Tesori and blah, 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 and they do their research. The dad in this one came up with Renvex. He thought, that'll do. So they slapped it on this. They had brilliant branding. They had a fake website with all these stock images. Of a lab, and it was done in the filthiest farmhouse. So, you know, if you're in the steroid business, or you're in the business of leaking steroids,
North
be
Wales.
Careful.
Can I bring you on, Nadine? the Love is Blind. Obviously, Love Island UK has said the sun is setting it for another year. Are we ready for Love is Blind UK? Look, I mean, that franchise is...
Yeah.
Enormous.
I mean, I tried to get a preview of this one and I was told no in no uncertain terms because it's such hot stuff.
So you're blindly previewing it.
I wanted to blindly, exactly. But I've watched the other, I mean, of course, it's a massively successful franchise. It started in 2020 and is now in 12 plus countries with different versions. And so the UK version
is
back.
The amount of views is just crazy.
It is crazy. But I got really obsessed with it, like watching it before. And I wound up doing that thing that you do where you go down sort of an internet wormhole and you're finding out how the couples got on years after the program and you're like, what am I doing? You know,
what are
it is
you
totally
doing?
Addictive. So for people who don't know, this is a very straightforward premise, although completely crazy as well, where men and women spend 10 days in these dating pods where they consortiate. They can talk to their various people who enter the pods, but they can only really see them in sort of a blurry way because there's a blue translucent barrier. So if they want to meet face to face, they have to actually propose marriage to their beau. And then they go on holiday, they move in together, they plan a wedding. And then the final stage is the wedding day. Will they actually make it up the aisle?
I just find it the premise of those shows and their success confounding. Also slightly confounding for me, another big franchise finally, Owen, is that anarchic King of the Hill. It's back on Disney Plus, 14th season. Has it now just gone into the world of a classic?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the most human of those golden age of animated adult, let's call them out, our family, all ages animated series. It's far more well-rounded, the characters are. They're much more three-dimensional, ironically, in two dimensions. This is from Mike Judge, who brought us everything from Beavis and Butthead to Idiocracy to Office Space, and Greg Daniels, who adopted most successfully the US Office and everything else after that, Parks and Rec, etc., etc. Hank and Peggy, the characters age. Hank and Peggy are back from Saudi Arabia where they've been sequestered, and Hank loved his life in a lockup a compound in Saudi Arabia where they got America right because it's like the 1950s.
Well, I think
this is modern day Texas. They drink beer in the alleyway. All is well with the world. I love it.
Well, that is fantastic, and what a way to end that our weekly watch list. But thank you very, very much, Nadine O'Regan and Owen Sweeney, for joining us today. And I'm afraid that's all we've time for. You can listen back to all of the conversations from today's show on the RTE Radio app or wherever you get your podcast. Today's show was produced by series producer Tessa Delahanty. Research was by Jen Gannon. Senan Cullinan was the broadcast coordinator, and Mark McGrath was in sound. Stay tuned for This Week with Justin McCarthy, but I'll leave you today with some Irish music. Here's Cian to Crow with Your Eyes.